welcome to the Sterling Foursquare Church podcast. Our mission is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. More info can be found at sterlingfoursquare.com. Thank you for joining us today.
We started a sermon series last week. It's called Love Came Down. It's going to be the focus for our time here through our Christmas season. And we specifically focused on the idea that as Jesus entered the world, that God was coming to be present with us. That it was a very unique expression of the way that God wanted to show his presence and to be present with us. And we focused on that idea and looked more or less in the Gospel of John as we were unpacking the idea of Jesus coming as the light in the darkness. But I want to remind you that even as we talked about our need to be present, the need for Christ to be present in our lives and the need for us to be present in the lives of others, that it's possible for us to be present in a sense of being close in proximity, but to not actually have any relationship exchanged. That we can be present without experiencing one another's presence. And that's what we want to kind of turn our attention to and our focus on this morning. When I was in high school, I flew back to visit some friends in Iowa. We had lived there briefly for a series of years, and I'd formed some pretty good friendships, and I'd had the opportunity in the summer to fly back and to spend, I think, about 10 days with some close friends there. And at the same time, my grandpa was driving back to Springfield, Illinois, and he was going to be spending time with family that he had there. And the plan was for me to fly to Iowa, spend time with my friends, and then make my way to Springfield, Illinois, and then to carpool with Grandpa back to Southern California. And so I had flown to Cedar Rapids, Iowa, spent some time with my friends there, and then now it was time to make my journey from Cedar Rapids to Springfield, Illinois, where I was going to be meeting my grandpa and where we had family there. But I didn't have a vehicle. I was too young to rent a vehicle. I was only 17 at the time, so I had a license, but not much else going for me. And so I got to make my journey from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, to Springfield, Illinois, on a Greyhound bus. Now, if you've ever ridden a Greyhound bus, then you know what that's like. If you have never done that, just kind of keep going with that, because I would prefer that experience. I showed up at the bus stop, and I was going to have to get on this bus, and it was just kind of like dropped off by my friends, and it was like, well, see you later. You're on your own. And so I got on this bus full of strangers. There was a huge kind of family group, and there was a couple smattering of strangers, and I was not in a comfortable place. I didn't feel safe. I went and I picked out my row, and that was it. I kind of scrunched into my row. I got as close to the window as I could. I looked out the window, and I put on my earphones. Now, those of you who are young and tech savvy, you're thinking earbuds or your noise canceling. That's not what we had back there. We had the fluffy ones that you see, the little fuzzy ones that you put on, that when you listen to your music, you had to turn it up super loud, but then everybody else could hear it as well as your sounds just bled out to the rest of what was going on. But I put my headphones on. I had my Discman. Do you guys remember those? It was like your personal, one CD player. I had my Discman, and I got that out, and I put in my Weird Al Yankovic CD, pushed play, and I just stared out the window for the drive to Illinois. And I was present. I was on the bus, right? But I didn't interact with anybody. I wasn't having any type of relationship interaction. There was no sense of experiencing the presence of anyone else on the bus. I was just present. It was me, Weird Al, the window, and the road. And I was just trying to make it to where I was going. And I share that illustration with you because it is possible for us, having last week talked about our need to have Christ present with us, it's possible for us to acknowledge that he's present, but not experience his presence. It's possible for us to acknowledge that he is there, or that he exists, or that he is willing to come alongside us, but not to have any real relational interaction, not any real experience of the presence of Christ in our life. We can simply kind of keep going through the motions, and maybe we acknowledge that there's proximity, but there's no intimacy, and those things are different. And what I would suggest to you is that right now there is a very deep need, more recognizable maybe during this time, for us to experience the personal and abiding presence of God. There is something that is being moved in desperate hearts and in desperate situations where people are searching, where people are seeking, where there's this intuition spiritually within us that we need to experience the presence of God. Not to just simply know that he is present, not just be aware that somehow he exists cosmically or that he's ever present in an omnipresent sense or that somehow he knows what's going on or he's willing to be there, but beyond that, to actually experience his presence for ourselves. And some of that is coming out of desperation, right? It's coming out of being in an uncomfortable situation where when we were going into the spring, maybe we were thinking this was going to be a couple weeks, maybe a month or two max, and now it seems like the year's almost over and it doesn't seem like there's anything in sight, that the difficulties that we faced are becoming maybe even more complicated or more exaggerated, or there's fatigue, and there's any number of ways that this is being expressed in your life and in mine and in the community around us. But oftentimes there's this desperation now that is making it even more apparent that we need to experience the presence of God. It's likely that you have sensed that yourself. And oftentimes our desire to experience the presence of God in those desperate situations is the hope that if God becomes present, what I'll experience is a change of my situation. Maybe you're in that place where you're still waiting for something to change or something to go back to the way that it was or something to become what you had hoped it would be. And so there's this longing to experience the presence of God, to see your situation change. And can I tell you, he can do that. He often does. But more than that, when you experience the presence of God, you will change. In the moments where I have experienced the presence of God, I have been changed. And it's with that in mind that we're going to look at the Christmas narrative in Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to entertain what it looks like for you and I to experience the presence of God, not just acknowledge that he is present. If you've got your Bible, go ahead and get that out. If you've got your smartphone or your tablet, go ahead and open up your Bible app. Lord, we come before you, and we ask you to give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you would speak to us through your word today. Lord, give us soft hearts. Receive the seed of your word. And we pray that it would grow and produce fruit in our lives. Lord, give us the courage and the leading of your Holy Spirit to put it into practice this week in Jesus' name. Amen. When we experience the presence of God, sometimes our circumstances will change, but all times will change. And in Matthew chapter 1, as you pick up one of the Christmas narratives, we see this really demonstrated in the life of Joseph. I'm going to read this whole passage, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. I want to encourage you to read along in your version. And then we're going to focus on a specific verse that's going to frame out the rest of our time this morning. Starting in verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. And many of you would be familiar with this part of the Christmas story, especially if you grew up in church. You've heard about Mary and Joseph and kind of what's going on there. I would suggest to you that this was an uncomfortable situation, that this was a situation of discomfort, that this was a situation that was not preferred. I would suggest to you that in many ways, Joseph was desperate in this. And honestly, he was in a lose-lose position. Because the two decisions that he had, both of them seemed to lack an upside. One decision was somehow to back out quietly, which is what he was thinking about doing, to go ahead and divorce Mary quietly so that there wasn't any kind of public display or fallout. But it means that he was going to lose that relationship. That the one that he had covenanted his heart to, that he had committed to Mary that he was going to have to lose that. He was going to have to sacrifice that in order to somehow exit this and save face and somehow protect her from public scrutiny. Or the other decision was is that he could just go through this and endure the public scrutiny, the scandal, the fallout, and the things of relational difficulty with family as a result of this. He was in a position where both decisions seemed to lack an upside. And it's into the middle of that that the presence of God steps. So into a situation that for any number of reasons we could assume has desperation written all over it, the presence of God intervenes. Verse 20, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And so the presence of God interrupts the story. As Matthew's writing this out, he's giving us the side of the story that focuses on Joseph, and we get kind of the perspective from his side and what he's thinking about and how he's contemplating responding, and then God intervenes. And it's a dramatic way, isn't it? Right? That an angel of the Lord speaks to him in a dream. He recognizes the presence of God. He recognizes the word of God. It's a very dramatic experience that he has there. But it changes and shapes the directory of where he was going, the trajectory of where he was going, and the direction of how he was going to lead. And so he chooses to follow through in great faith and in great courage and with enduring the scrutiny and the discomfort that this decision was going to make, but he did it in faith and in obedience to the Lord. Now I want you to note, like, his situation didn't change. Like, Mary wasn't suddenly not pregnant. It wasn't suddenly, like, not a scandal. It wasn't suddenly not something that seemed like he was being given a story to cover up maybe some other type of activity. Like, none of those things, none of the details of the story changed. The only thing that changed as a result of the presence of God interrupting the narrative was Joseph. Joseph changed, and his response changed. And instead of being somebody who was fearful and anxious, he responds in courageous faith as a result of experiencing the presence of God. And in verse 22, as Matthew continues the narrative, he gives us kind of the big picture of what's happening, why this came about in this way. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so as Matthew frames out just the narrative, this is what's going on in Joe's life, and then here's the scandal, and this is how he responded, and he's, you know, he's attributing it to the presence of God. It's not just hearsay, and it's not just kind of poetic, but this is what's taking place, and it was by design that the prophet Isaiah had spoken about this. And so Matthew wants us to know and to understand that there is something important taking place here, and that in this, that this son that is coming, that he would be Emmanuel. And he makes sure that we know what that means. It means God with us. And he quotes out of the book of Isaiah here. And the circumstance wasn't changed. The details didn't change, but Joseph changed, and he changed because he encountered the presence of God. And then as Matthew kind of rounds out what's taking place, he highlights the presence of God. That this was so that Emmanuel would come. This happened to bring Emmanuel. And in one way, Matthew is telling us that this is how the presence of God enters into human history in a new and a different way, in a distinct way, in a sense, speaking of Christ as Emmanuel. But the narrative also demonstrates what it means to experience Emmanuel. That in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of desperation, in the midst of uncertainty, when there's a lack of clarity, when there's a decision to be made and there doesn't seem to be a right answer, when we're choosing between which loss that we're going to endure, when there's hardship, when there's relationship strain, when there's brokenness in human interaction, all of those things, When those things are things that you and I endure, something happens when we experience Emmanuel. You actually see Joseph experience what it means to have the presence of God in the midst of difficulty and uncertainty. And so not only as we're reminded from Isaiah that this was to bring Emmanuel, we are shown what it looks like to experience Emmanuel, to be changed because we've experienced the presence of God. And as Matthew highlights this part of the narrative, we see that this was God's design. So he quotes from Isaiah chapter 7. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 7 and see that there's actually a second part to the verse that comes at the beginning. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the full verse reads this way: "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." In Matthew's account, he's giving us the second half of the verse as it illuminates what's taking place in Joseph's life. But this verse that is quoted in full here lets us know that it's God's design to do that. Listen to me. God has designed it for you to experience his presence. His desire is for you to not just know that he is present, not just to give a cognitive affirmation to that, and just say, yes, I agree with that. God must be present in some sense because he is God, or he's willing to kind of be there. But God has designed it so that you would experience his presence and that it would make a difference as a result. That there would be an experience of relationship with him that would change you in the midst of desperate situations. God chose to come to us in this way. It wasn't just a design for entering history in one sense, that he came. He chose to come to us this way, that love came down to get to us because we couldn't get to him. That's the story of redemption. That's the story of Christ coming, with the cross and the death and the resurrection out front, all of that wrapped up in this idea that God was looking to find his way to us. And the prophet Isaiah highlights that, that it's God's design, that he's going to come in this way. And when you move through the book of Isaiah, there are so many places where the prophet speaks of the Messiah, speaks of who Christ was going to be and what he was going to do. And when you get to Isaiah chapter 9, there is a whole section that highlights who Christ was and what he was supposed to do. And starting in verse 2 of Isaiah chapter 9, it says this. It says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Now, if you were with us last week, this sounds a lot like what John was writing about. That the idea that in John's gospel, as Jesus enters human history, he doesn't write about Joseph and Mary, and he doesn't write about angels and shepherds. John talks about the light of the world coming and stepping into our darkness. And he draws that imagery from here in Isaiah chapter 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And so it moves to this place. I'm going to move off of this. There we go. Of course, it's going to start getting choppy in here when I get preachy, isn't it? The light came to shine in the darkness, and John draws on the imagery here from Isaiah chapter 9. And as you move through that chapter, you get to verse 6, and he again talks about this child that is to be born. He backcasts to that Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 of this child that was going to be conceived and be Emmanuel. And he speaks of him in this way. He says, "For to us," this is Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, "for us, a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called," and then there's a list of names: "Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And then this list of names, you have some things that are highlighted that you and I can experience as the result of being in the presence of God. That when you experience the presence of God, these are things that you can experience in your life, in your situation. And many of them you see in Joseph's narrative. But there's four things here. If you're a note taker, you can write these down. There are four things that we can experience as a result of the presence of God being active in our life, experiencing the presence of God in our life. But listen to me, you can miss all four of these as well. If you acknowledge that God is present, but you don't experience his presence. If you acknowledge that God is present, but you don't interact in relationship. It is possible for you to be on the bus full of people and to distance yourself to a place where you're all alone. It's possible for us to acknowledge that God is present, but not enjoy or experience any of the expression of his presence in our lives. And so it's important for us to recognize that as we look at these names of Jesus, these are on offer. You can experience this in the presence of God, or you can miss it by choosing to focus on other things that are more distracting at the time. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. The first thing that you can experience as a result of God's presence in your life is wisdom. Wonderful Counselor. See, that idea encapsulates our need for discernment and direction. And certainly Joseph found himself in that place, didn't he? Where he had kind of two decisions, one or the other, a rock and a hard place. Both were a decision of loss. How do you make that decision? Where do you find wisdom in that? In all of his worldly wisdom, the best that he could come up with is, I'll try to do this as quietly as possible, and I'm just going to cut my losses. Where the decision of faith and confidence and even obedience to the things of God was going to be in another direction. He needed wisdom that he didn't have. He needed discernment and direction that he didn't have. And he wasn't going to get it apart from an experience of the presence of God. And so he experiences the presence of God in a very dramatic way, certainly. But it brings about clarity. And if you are dealing with situations right now in your life, in relationships, in your finances, in direction, in God's plans and purposes for you, and you're lacking discernment, you're lacking direction, can I tell you that what you don't need is just more advice? You need to experience the presence of God. And that if you have an encounter with the presence of God, you will come out with clarity in the direction that you should go. And you might not have any more clarity than just the next step. You might not get to see to the end, but you'll have enough faith and enough clarity to take that next step with confidence and to move into the things that God has for you. But that idea of counselor, that wonderful counselor, it's not just counsel in the sense of direction or wisdom or helping you make decisions. It also has a comforting element to it as well. When you look at the way that Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, as he's speaking to his disciples about how the Spirit of God was going to interact in the life of them as Christ followers, he speaks of the Holy Spirit as a counselor and a comforter, one who would come and not just direct, but comfort in time of need. And so if you're in a place right now where you are lacking wisdom or discernment, if you are anxious and depressed, if you are fearful, you need the wisdom and the comfort that comes from experiencing the presence of God. He will be, listen to me, Jesus will be your wonderful counselor. Don't just acknowledge that he's present, but begin to engage with him and experience his presence. The second thing that you see here is that he is Mighty God. And that name there is highlighting the power and the strength of God, the strength to will and to move in our lives. And our hope oftentimes, right, especially when we're going through things that are difficult, our hope is that he would move and will to make things different or better or change what's going on around me. But very often, the power and the strength is demonstrated in not changing what's taking place around us, but changing what is taking place inside of us. He changes us as a result of experiencing his presence. But can I tell you that he is Mighty God? He can move mountains. He can do the miraculous. And you don't have to even believe that for that to be true. That's the beautiful thing about who God is, the character and nature of God. It's not something that's dependent on whether or not I believe that or affirm that. Certainly when I respond in faith, that puts things in motion in my life, but God doesn't cease to exist because I cease to believe. God is who he is apart from me and doesn't actually need me to accomplish his will and his purpose in human history and outside of it as well. He is the mighty God. And if you experience the power and the presence of God, you will see that demonstrated in the issues of your life. And your circumstances might change dramatically. They might not, but you will. You will be forever changed by experiencing the presence of God. The third thing that you see there, right? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. And I want to push on this from a little bit of a different direction, but something that you can experience as a result of his presence is security. He is an everlasting Father. Can I tell you that that is speaking of an enduring relationship? And I felt really impressed to make this statement this week. And I believe that there are hearts here that really, they need to receive this truth. You cannot become unloved by God. He is an everlasting Father. The way that he relates to his creation, his loving delight towards us, that does not change. Sin separates us, brokenness separates us. We can separate ourselves to some degree. We can reject his love and we can live our whole lives without experiencing that love for ourselves. But listen, that may all be true in the way that we go about moving through life, but it does not change his love towards you. You cannot become unloved by your everlasting Father. He loves you. And oftentimes, it's at that revelation, at that understanding, when our heart is softened and our eyes are open to that, that we actually can respond back in kind. But Scripture says that he loved first, and that we love him because he first loved us. And there are hearts, I believe, in our church community that need to be reminded that you are not unloved by God. That you are not unloved. You can reject his love, but you aren't unloved. He is an everlasting Father. So you can experience wisdom as a result of his presence. You can experience a demonstration of his power as a result of his presence. You can experience security and certainty in your relationship with the Lord as a result of his presence. And then the fourth one, he is the Prince of Peace. You can experience peace as a result of his presence. And that word for peace, it's not just tranquility. It's not just kind of a cessation of discomfort or trouble. It has more to do with this certainty and this wholeness being restored. There's an element of healing to this word. That the peace that you and I can receive is not just kind of a cessation of things that are uncomfortable to us, but we can receive healing and wholeness in our lives as well. And sometimes that peace comes because he quiets the storm. And you see that in the life and the ministry of Jesus on more than one occasion where he speaks to a storm and it stops, like because he said so and that's how it works. But it's just as likely that you will go through storms in life and still experience a deep peace, not because the storm has changed, but because he changes you in the midst of the storm. That there's an anchor that holds you fast, regardless of how the waves of life are buttressing you. I read a book 2 or 3 weeks ago. It wasn't a particularly spiritual book. It was a book about pirates. So that lets you know what I do in some of my free time. It was a historical book on piracy on the Eastern American seaboard during the golden age of piracy. So if it lets you, you know, if there's anybody that's like, "R, matey, like, let me know what that book is." It was called Black Flags and Blue Waters, and you can look it up for yourself. And it was a fun read. It was historical, and it was something that kind of was in an area that I wanted to read and kind of was entertained a little bit by. But one of the things that was really interesting is some of the things that you just kind of pick up in that. And on a number of occasions, they talked about different shipwrecks or storms or things like that. And when a ship couldn't outrun a storm and had no hope of making its way through the storm and couldn't retreat to a safe harbor, it would move out to a place, some type of a shoal where it wasn't too deep and they could get their anchor down, and they would drop anchor and they would drop all of their sails, tie everything down, batten down the hatches, and they would ride it out. The storm would just batter and batter and batter the ship. But if the anchor held fast, then they could ride out through the storm. When the anchor was lost, then they were blown into the rocks. They were blown into the shoals. They were blown into the cliffs, and all types of calamity took place. But as long as the anchor would hold, they could ride it out, and they could be okay. And when you are anchored and rooted in Christ, you can experience peace even as the waves are coming over the top of the boat. You can experience a peace and a wholeness and a tranquility as a result of his presence, even though the storm doesn't change. And that is oftentimes how we go through life. There will be moments where God will dramatically change your situation and dramatically demonstrate his power. And then there will be other times where he dramatically holds you in the midst of brokenness and uncertainty. Where as an anchor, as you know, if that anchor holds, I'm going to be okay. Where your faith in Christ becomes that. Four things that we can experience as a result of his presence in our lives: wisdom, power, security, and peace. And Jesus came to be those things. Emmanuel comes to demonstrate those things in our lives. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. Worship team, if you would come back forward. As our worship team is making their way back forward, I'm going to invite you, church family, to just close your eyes for a moment. That's a close out distractions around you, just the movement, those things that would draw your attention. We know that the Lord is present. Let's close our hearts to distractions around us so that we would experience his presence. And I want to ask you to entertain a question this morning and allow the Holy Spirit to help you answer it. It's a very simple one when it comes to the presence of God, but where do you need to experience the presence of God in your life today? Where do you need to experience the presence of God in your life today? Not just to acknowledge that he's present, not just to give a nod to that idea, but where do you need to experience his presence? In what situation are you in desperate need of wisdom, his discernment, and his direction? In what area of your life are you longing to be comforted? In what situation of your life are you in need of a demonstration of his might and of his power, that he is the mighty God and you need to see him move that mountain? In what place in your heart do you need the security of knowing that he is an everlasting Father, that he hasn't abandoned you, that he hasn't forsaken you, that you are not somehow loved less because of what you've gone through or what you're enduring? Where do you need that certainty today? And in what areas of your life do you need the Prince of Peace to anchor you in the storm, to bring wholeness to those areas of brokenness? Lord, each heart here would have a different answer to that. Each one of us would have a different need today. Some hearts would need several of these simultaneously. Some of our situations need one dramatically. Lord, we need to experience your presence. Lord, last week we were reminded that you are present and that we are able to invite you into those places in our lives, that we can be present for others around, as well, and be used and useful to your kingdom in that way. But more and beyond that, Lord, this week we're reminded that we need to experience your presence. Lord, some of us need that still small voice to quietly assure us, and some of us need a dramatic demonstration. Lord, meet each heart where they are in each place of need. Be our wonderful counselor, Jesus. Be our mighty God. Be our everlasting Father. Be our Prince of Peace, because you are our Emmanuel. You are God with us. Bring certainty to each heart today that you are present and that we can experience your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you got a smartphone or a tablet, we got a few action steps for you this week. I want to encourage you to engage in these three ways. The first one is to take some time this week to be alone in the presence of God. That can look in a variety of different ways, but make that appropriate. Number two, read Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and consider his names, right? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Ask him to show up in those ways, in the ways that are needed in your life. And then number three, invite Jesus to work in your life in those ways.